Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in El Salvador in 2013, I met a woman named Candelaria. When I met Candelaria, she was a short Salvadoran woman in her late 50s, but in 1980, 33 years earlier, she had been a young catechist who had been studying under the tutelage of Sister Dorothy Kazel. And this firsthand connection with Sister Dorothy was the reason why Candelaria was brought to speak to our group of Yale Divinity School students. Because on December 2nd, 1980, Sister Dorothy, along with two other nuns and one lay leader who was also a female, had been abducted and murdered by the Salvadoran army. And all four women who were sent to El Salvador by the Catholic diocese, Sister Kazel herself was from Cleveland, Ohio. All four of these women were dedicated to working for the poor of El Salvador. And since they were educating the people about their plight, they were seen by the landowning elite of El Salvador as a threat. And they knew that they were in danger because the Archbishop of the Salvadoran Church, Oscar Romero himself, had been assassinated only months before in March of 1980. But the four women were determined to stay. After their martyrdom, the four churchwomen, as they became known, became important symbols of the Salvadoran struggle for freedom. When Candelaria spoke to our group, she told us a story about Sister Kazel. I would like to begin my sermon this morning with that story. One day, Candelaria arrived late, and when she walked in, she found that she had arrived in the midst of a celebration. Cake was being served. All the cake, however, had been served. It was all gone. Seeing that Candelaria had come in and quickly assessing the situation, Sister Dorothy beckoned her young charge to come and sit beside her. When she did as she was told, Sister Dorothy insisted on sharing her piece of cake with Candelaria. Questioned about the incident later, the nun laughed and said, "I learned this from the Salvadoran people. Being poor, they are accustomed to share. Being poor, they are accustomed to share." I'm sure that Candelaria told us this story in order to illustrate Sister Dorothy's saintly qualities. But my attention in this story is drawn to the Salvadoran people. This story swiftly and elegantly undermines a complex set of assumptions that were operating within me about how people live in poverty. While one must be careful not to romanticize poverty, neither should one assume that the suffering that results from it necessarily destroys or demeans. Being accustomed to share is a strength that is a necessary response to living with a lack of resources. Sister Dorothy learned how to share from the Salvadoran people. The Salvadoran people, in turn, learned about God's love through the generous sister who reflected back upon them their own simple generosity. It was the cultural encounter that allowed these lessons to be learned. You may remember that a couple of Sundays ago I preached about the moment when Jesus gave his disciples authority over unclean spirits and sent them out two by two. I spent most of this Sunday sermon exploring what it meant to follow the instruction that Christ gave his disciples to take nothing with them when they went out on their missions. I bring these matters to your attention because this morning's lesson, which Bob just read for us, appears to take up where that reading left off. At the outset of today's reading, also from the Gospel of Mark, we are told that the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. So, Jesus gave his disciples a mission. They accepted the mission and went out into the world. And now they're reporting back. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? The sequence of events is one that we recognize from our own lives. Students, for example, are given an assignment and they go out and they do it and then they hand it in to be evaluated. Employees, too, may be given a project by their boss, and when they are done, they are expected to report back the results or their findings. The sentence we have just heard suggests that in this case, too, the familiar expectation is at work, and the disciples felt that Jesus was inclined to hear a report of what they had done and what they had achieved. But this is where the similarity ends. This turns out not to be a quarterly stock report for the stockholders. It's not an annual performance review because none of the details are forthcoming. Were the disciples successful? We don't know. They might have been total failures, but we don't know because the text does not give us any of those details. There were no graphs and no spreadsheets. We don't even know if Jesus was pleased or displeased with the report of the disciples. The text studiously avoids such data. All we know is that Jesus responds by saying, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest a while." On several occasions in the gospel, Jesus himself goes off alone to a deserted place. And when he does so with a purpose, because he wants to pray. So when Jesus tells the disciples to come away to a deserted place, he is making a suggestion that is not only about their geographical location. He is inviting them to pray. He is inviting us to pray. Come away, perhaps, is another way of saying, pray with me. Sometimes, he seems to be saying, it is necessary to remove oneself from one's context in order to come into communion with God. Sometimes we must remove ourselves from ourselves in order to learn about ourselves. When I wrote this, I was reminded of my father's book, 50 Meditations. My father, Kosuke Koyama, he tells a story about going to the Shwe Dagon Pagoda in Rangoon, Burma. The story involves two trips to that famous pagoda. The first time he went to the pagoda, he observed the proper religious practice, and he took off his shoes, and he climbed up to the top of the hill to where the impressive pagoda sits. This act of humility, this taking off of shoes, forced him to approach the divine slowly. Quote, "When I took off my shoes, I felt that I was exposed. My modernized and well-protected feet found it hard to walk bare over the gravel stones and the heated pavement. The acceptance of all this inconvenience, and in particular the feeling of being exposed, forms a religious sense of humility and respect." My father was reminded of the story of Moses. Take off your shoes, for the ground on which you are standing is holy. My father was reminded of Jesus Christ. Quote, in his holy search, the holy God did not go on motorcycle or by supersonic jet. He became slow, very slow. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, means that God went so slow that he became nailed down in his search for man. My father came away in this new context. Climbing up to the Buddhist pagoda, he found Moses and he found Jesus. Going to the center of another religion, he found his own. The second time he went to that same pagoda, some years later, he came and found that an elevator had been built for the tourists. Pilgrims took off their shoes and climbed the mountain. Tourists were still required to take off their shoes, but they could take the elevator. And here is my father's response. For the first time in my life, I went in an elevator barefooted. My shoes in my hands shouted at me that they must be worn on my feet. While I was feeling the strange sensation of suspension between becoming a pilgrim and becoming a tourist, I reached the top. If I had walked up the hill barefoot, I would have been a pilgrim. If I had kept my shoes on, I would have been a tourist. But now, I was neither a pilgrim nor tourist. A strange sensation of temporary loss of self-identity swept over me. Jesus says, "Come away." It is an invitation to pray. An invitation to move out of the comfort zone and pay attention. To learn new ways, and in the new place, learn also about where you come from. It's fascinating, and I hope promising, that this should be the subject of my sermon on the eve of my trip to Indonesia to see my daughter. While I am gone away, I will remember where I have come from, and I will keep an eye out for things to learn as a pilgrim and as a tourist. Amen.